WCR, what's your favorite scary movie?
Oh my God! It's you!
Oh!
And you!
Ah!
You can't be alive! Ah! That's right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, ghouls and goblins and everything in between. Welcome to our very first, like, proper live. Oh no, Fear Street was live? One of the Fear Streets was live.
We did one of the Fear Streets live.
Well, it's alright. Well, our first Friday the 13th live, anyway.
Yes.
Uncensored Horror. Hi, everyone, because his name was Jason, and today is his birthday in America.
Yeah, we've already survived, Steve.
We got props and shit, y'all. We are so fancy today. How are we all, guys? We're feeling, well, Luke and I have survived Friday the 13th.
We have. Katie, look, and I was the counselor too.
Here, I thought I was the only one with my...
We got merch. We got merch, y'all. So she survived,
so
Katie.
So far. But it's only 7:30 here in New York, so there's still time.
Early. Don't answer that knock on the door. Hey, you know what? Don't go out to your ghetto clothesline and be like,
yeah,
Kyle, I told you not to mess up my Welshie.
Yeah, that seems actually really plausible. So.
do you rock a hair roller, do you?
I mean, I want to, well, honestly.
I want to. Like, career goals. Career goals.
I mean, my hair falls so straight and flat. I need some, like, rollers. And I mean, she's the boss bitch, so of course I want to be her.
Do you know that woman was so miscast? She was like a lot younger than what she was trying
to
play.
We're going to talk about a lot of the issues in this one. So in case you hadn't guessed, we are here today to put our little spin on a review of Friday the 13th, part 3 or 3D, depending on how you watched it. Has anyone actually watched this in 3D?
I mean,
I've got the Blu-ray that came with the red and, like, the red and
glasses.
Blue, and it's not right. Apparently, there is one that works with, like, the polarized 3D now out there. I think there is a Blu-ray that has that.
It's so bad.
I've got the box set too, but I never wanted to open. Actually, the glasses are right there. Oh, no, we don't care. They're glasses. I just haven't opened them. I don't want to get up on camera. No one can see that. I look great from here up.
Uncensored horror to a degree.
Uncensored horror. Not uncensored body horror.
It's fucking uncensored horror 3D with you getting up.
That ass. That ass. So, yeah. Obviously, with every review that we do, there's going to be... spoilers, yeah. Spoilers.
Are we spoiling anything with this one, though? We're doing you a favor.
We're spoiling. Okay, that's a good... I feel good, better about that. So, yes, Friday the 13th, part 3. Hot on the heels of the success of Friday the 13th, part 2, right?
The movie was actually meant to take place, like, days after part 2. Right?
Like, the day of the morning after.
Yes.
Like, Jason wakes up in the shack.
Like, you know, like, they've cleaned up and they couldn't find his body.
Let's talk about that. Yeah. So, originally, this movie was intended to be a direct sequel to part 2, starring the one and only Ms. Ginny Field.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, Amy Steele, for those real life aficionados. Amy was asked back. There are two different scripts, I think, floating around. There was one where she was taken to a mental hospital And then there was one where...
A little bit like Halloween 2.
Yeah. And then there was one where she came back like a year or two later, or she was in her dorm like a year or two later, and she finds Rob's body in her house. But, yeah, Ginny did not return for whatever reason. For whatever reason that happened, Ginny did not return. So we kind of just take a detour around the lake, I guess. They're doing some world building. Let's put it that way. We're doing some world building. We'll see how we'll discuss how that goes.
We don't go to Camp Crystal Lake this time, do we?
Well, we're on the same lake. We're on the same
not
lake.
Not at the camp anymore.
Round the corner, I think.
Mm.
Round the corner, you know. We're Camp Crystal Lake adjacent, we'll call it.
Yes.
Get it? Adjacent.
What's it called? Higgins Haven?
Higgins Haven.
There we go.
Nice building. The video game got it super right. Like, if you play Friday the 13th, like, they were very active. They watch these movies, you can tell.
You know, it's funny. Kyle started giving me some fun facts, and he goes, I learned it all from the video game. Like, he was so special. Like, oh, good for you, Kyle.
Yeah. Give me a cat. Yeah. Dude, I would do that all the time. We don't really have any lead in. It's just kind of, it happens. We do, however, have a cameo, not only from Miss Amy Steele, straight up. Who knows what the other cameo is?
Is it the hitchhiker?
No.
Or whoever he was?
No, I think.
What else happens on the TV? What else happens on the TV? This gentleman here that it can barely be seen.
Who is that?
It's Steve Miner, the director of the movie.
Look at that.
There you go.
So, yes.
Yes.
We are.
Cute little fact.
That was
Crystal
fun.
Lake. I guess you'd call it Crystal Lake Corner Store. What would you call it? What would you call it? Crystal Lake
Corner Store.
Apothecary, if we go Schitt's Creek, you know?
Or a general store.
Yes, a general store. We meet Edna and Harold. Now, Harold has. All right. I'm going to put it as nicely as possible.
No, you don't need to put it as nicely as possible.
Is Harold a little bit special? Do we get that?
Well, they're woodsy. They're woodsy people, so they're meant to be a little bit kooky.
He might have been sniffing fumes or something.
I don't think he is special.
All there. I don't think he's all there.
I think he's just dumb.
Yeah. I think they were just like backwater people. Like,
I don't know.
Too close.
Oh, look, I just think, yeah, they were written to be quite simple people. Edna was horribly miscast because you can see it was like a younger actress trying to be like this haggy kind of.
Again.
Yeah, with the curlers in and knitting goals.
Life goals.
Okay, I need to talk to you. I said, I'm not going to show my hand straight away. But last night I said to Luke, I need your help because this I'm not really familiar with this one and I don't know why. And then I started watching it.
And now I was like, know why.
I remember why I'm not familiar with this one.
You know, it's
But funny. Anyway, we're not going to get straight there.
You know, it's funny because I was rewatching it today because I'm thinking about it. I'm like, why don't I remember this? And then I started watching it. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. As soon as I was 5 minutes in, I went, I get this. Now, they do try. But to be fair, this is where they set the formula, right?
Mm-hmm.
They set the formula from here on out. This is the movie. This is how it rolls. This is how the franchise rolls for the next. Dugga, 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 until they try and take a big left turn with Jason Goes to Hell.
I mean, do we agree that this film was more focused on being a 3D film rather than being a
definitely.
I think the technical aspects and filming this film was very difficult for them. It wasn't easy.
It looks like it.
And it I think it actually really affected the momentum of the film because you had all these gimmicks that were being shoveled in, you know, to make it 3D, that the film didn't feel, it didn't flow like the second one did. The second one was a slow burn too, but this one just felt like it stagnated for the sake of showing effects. And
I think 3D films are so funny just because they're just so, what's the word I want? Boisterous, maybe? Just because you just pick something up and...
They're demonstrative. You're like, oh no, this pen. Look at this pen. Look.
Like, oh, look at this so pen. Tired. You know?
Are we going to release this episode in 3D?
Yeah, I reckon. Hey, 3D.
Wait, I'll give
Katie's going to give us a shimmy later on.
Boom.
That's 3DD, baby. 3DD. So, yes, we visit the lakefront store of Edna and Harold. Jason is doing his best Michael Myers amongst the washing. Right? He's like, ooh, yes. I'm creepy. Yeah. Harold has a weird attachment to a rabbit. The one, look, my main thing.
I love
my main thing. You know, we get our first, I guess the pole's not really a jump scare, is it? The pole's just like, ooh, 3D.
It's like, woo. Yeah, pretty much it's just showing off. Like, look, this is 3D, check it out. Woo.
Actually, I think the first show off was the Mrs. Voorhees head, right? When the Friday the 13th, part 3D comes out of her eyes. Ooh.
Yeah, I guess. But you know. Come anyway. To mommy.
Well, it was a choice. It was a choice.
There's a lot of choices in this. The main thing that
a lot of choices were made.
I don't know if, you know, spending a good 10 seconds on a panning shot and hearing someone shit is the greatest start to a movie. It was a wet one.
I watch movies with the captions on because I'm like, I'm not technically deaf, but I feel
a little bit deaf.
Yeah, so all you see is water splashing, and I'm like, come on, was that necessary?
No, there's like squelching and like bowel noises. Oh, I was like, oh, okay.
Anytime a movie does that, I just think, why are you making that choice? Why are you imagining this?
Well, let's just remember too, Steve Miner ended up becoming one of the greatest directors. But we all start somewhere, right?
Fuck knows how. With
panning
this one.
Panning shot of someone shitting. Why not?
But just, you know what? This is really bad. I was noticing the most random things in this movie because I remembered what this movie was like. How many entrances are there to that bathroom? He comes. So later she comes in from the house, which goes directly into that room. There are also two doors off that room to go outside.
Well,
I'm like, you would not want to take a shit in that bathroom. That's too exposing, right? It's like,
well, it's a high traffic area, obviously.
It is.
I would not want that many entrances into my bathroom.
We get that horrible snake fake out where you can see this, like you can see the fishing line. It's like, oh, there's just been no effort to clean that up, has there? Then Harold goes. Thank God he pulls up his pants, but the back of his pants would be dirty anyway because he didn't wipe his ass.
He didn't. I've noticed that's the theme in a lot of Friday the 13th movies. No one wipes.
Shitty asses.
Yeah, so Jason's doing people a favor by removing these unhygienic people. Imagine them during COVID times.
And
Jason wears a mask.
Poor young hot Edna, who's
miscast
old.
Edna.
Miscast Edna. Gets,
she's got some good eyebrows. Good for you.
Yeah,
bro.
On fleek. And she gets a knitting needle through her head, but doesn't go into his hand. Okay.
No.
Choices.
I don't think that. Didn't they have like the 3D point of the needle coming towards us?
But wouldn't it go through his hand if it was like this?
I think
like
it went
this?
Through his fingers or something. I can't see.
Oh, yeah. Now that you mention it, it could have gone through his fingers. Look at that, Steve. Luke got one.
Yeah, Luke's defending this movie, and I don't know whether he should. and then we flash randomly. We do our little, you know, head. I'm here. And we start to meet the fresh crop of victims.
Aww, my favorite.
Who wants to take us through these three? Who are these three?
Okay, so the driver is Chris Higgins.
Yes.
Who is returning to Camp Crystal Lake after a very traumatic experience 2 years ago. Isn't that Debbie in the middle? Isn't that Debbie?
Yeah, it's Debbie.
Debbie's pregnant. Debbie's pregnant.
Andy, right? The boyfriend?
And Andy's the boyfriend of Debbie.
In case you don't know his name, you're going to hear it about 50 times later on.
Andy!
And then in the back...
Oh, God. We have... Okay.
Okay, so Chili.
Luke. Oh, no. You're going to do
it? Okay, I'll go for it. Miscast Chili on the left.
There. The best character of the movie.
Yeah, I think so.
And then there's Chuck, who I don't know. I think he's meant to be older. I hope so, because otherwise he's terribly miscast too. That's just hanging out with all these teenagers. He's so Chili and him are like stoner boyfriend, girlfriend. Then we've got Shelley to the right there, played by Larry Zerner, who's quite famous in the Friday the 13th fan community now. He interacts quite a lot. He's a lawyer. Yeah, and he knows all about the rights issues that's going on. He's been updating the fans. There's Shelley. He's like the prankster of the film. He's a little bit of the oddball, the one. He's the nerd and the geek.
He's an incel. I thought it was an incel.
He is, but he is also a very key player of this movie. Very important.
He is.
And that should tell you a lot about this movie.
And then last but not least, to the right is Vera.
Yeah, Vera.
Why are all Veras fantastic?
I know, right?
Vera, the Latina on fire, the sexy mama of the movie.
Can I ask you this question? These kids are meant to be college age, right?
Yes, except for Chuck.
Chuck's a stoner.
Chuck's in his 30s.
Oh my God, easily. He does, James. He does look like David Berkowitz.
Oh my God. Good call.
Shelley, let's go back to that. Is this David Berkowitz? Yeah, it could be. shave that Jufro down and you never know.
He also paved the way for Jonah Hill.
That's true,
right?
With
that hairstyle, he paved the way.
So it's just very the beginning of evil.
So yeah, they are off on an adventure. And we randomly drop a line.
Who decides to go somewhere like, oh, I was randomly attacked. Let's all go for a holiday there.
She gets into it later why she's returning. Yeah, but I don't feel like
you would do that, right?
With a whole group of horny, co-eds. But whatever.
And Debbie randomly drops a line. She's pregnant.
Yeah, that's her main thing is that she's pregnant. Like,
I'm pregnant. Okay, character type. Calm down.
Okay, but you know what? She's playing the part very well because
she's no fun.
Well, okay, one. One. And two, Chris goes,
no, she still drinks.
We get there a lot sooner if someone didn't have to make a stop every 5 minutes. Accurate and also discrimination. Leave us alone. These babies are pressing up against our bladders. Stop it.
She felt red.
She was still drinking alcohol with that baby in there.
We're gonna talk about that.
That is also accurate for the times because they were all drinking while.
That's a very this is 82. That was starting to taper off a little bit.
That might have been the cutoff. Like, oh, maybe we should stop doing.
I feel like it's a hangover of the 70s. Right? That's just like.
I mean, too bad Libby didn't get the memo for me.
We used to smoke and smoke to have small babies, right?
That was absolutely the thing.
So let's not bury the lead. What do we think about Dana Kimmel as a leading
Chris
lady?
Higgins.
Think Dana.
No,
actually,
I'm talking about the actress.
I think Dana is not a bad actress, really. I think this is not the best script, let's be honest. Even for a Friday film.
It's definitely not a good script.
I think she probably didn't really know what she was getting into because she was sort of soap operaing it a little bit. But I felt she's one of my favorite final girls, to be honest.
You know who she reminds me of?
Who?
I'm going to blow her last name, that Alicia Dushku.
Eliza Dushku.
That one. That's who she reminds me of. That's what she remembers.
No, but she doesn't have that badass vibe that Eliza does.
Yeah, she's got a more innocent more face like, than Eliza does.
And she's got like that really prim and proper kind of.
I just
like, she's very all American for the 80s, where Adrienne King was very 70s. Like
I just meant look wise, not
yeah.
She looks like her,
and she kind of was the archetype that, like, you know, the girl next door, which they used for the Friday game, it was Chris Higgins. Let's be honest, Jenny Myers was Chris Higgins. Yeah, but she was like the pretty girl, very innocent, who's caught up in all this horrible stuff.
Yes. So on their way, they she's the worst driver. Like when they drive past that store, she's got out trauma. The window. She's like, I need to look. Not only am I taking my eyes off the road, my whole upper body is outside of the window of the car.
You're missing a very key part of before that.
Oh, is this the eating?
They had a little road snack before the part where Chris Higgins
was
off the road. I've never witnessed it personally.
I've never witnessed it either.
I've seen it done in other movies with other drugs. Like
okay, so they were smoking. They were smoking marijuana.
They were smoking the devil's lettuce, and they saw the cops coming on fast, and they started eating the drugs. Now in Super Troopers, they did the same kind of stunt with mushrooms, so they started hallucinating, which was hilarious, but. Have I ever seen it? No. I think you would just kind of try to hide it. I mean, why would you eat it?
You would hide it, right?
Right.
Or at least shelve it or something.
I mean, just like sit on it, put it between your legs. Like, don't give me any reason to search you. Big gaping mouthfuls
of weed. I could think of nothing worse. I mean, my palate.
Unless you're eating an edible, but.
Yeah, but you don't chew it. Like, imagine how long you've been picking that shit out your teeth and whatnot. We run into stereotypical creepy hitchhiker.
Yeah.
Abel.
Yeah. They were trying to make that a trope and it sort of didn't land in this one.
Because they accidentally killed their trope last term. Like, oh, that's right, we killed him. Here, have a really random dude with an eyeball.
Why not?
So
and it's in 3D.
So I'm going to assume that's Edna's or Harold's.
No, okay, here's what I read, okay?
Alrighty, fun fact.
Here we go.
It's Rob's eyeball.
Really?
Because he said there
Rob? Wait.
Rob from part two. Because here's the thing. The news report said there were 8 other bodies found when they found Ginny. 8 other bodies accounts for all the victims, but not Rob.
Okay.
And in what Abel says is there are other parts of the body in the forest.
Rob,
in can, and I read this, and apparently this is considered canonically correct. That's Rob's eyeball. Rob didn't make it out alive.
So are you thinking of Paul?
Paul.
Yeah, I'm like, who the hell is Rob? Rob's in part 4.
No, that is sorry. I got confused.
Yeah, I'm like, Paul. This is Paul's eyeball. There's other character in part 2 I missed.
No, this is Paul's eyeball.
Okay. Paul. So Paul.
There's someone
dead
in this room. Yep, sorry. There's someone in this room. Okay. I've got to get it. It's by the screeching of the name. Yeah.
Get it back. So, see, Paul's eyeball. Cut out that one.
Paul's eyeball. No, well, look, it's Friday the 13th. Continuity is not that important.
Not in this live fair, scene or in fair that movie.
So yeah, and then we never see him again. Bye, Abel. Like he doesn't recur, does he?
Never.
Ever.
Unless the fan film's gonna bring him back, you know, they're bringing everyone else back.
Yeah. I don't think
Abel the visionary.
Do you know who he kinda looked like? Old mate from Terminator 2.
Oh, it's been so long. The Terminator. The actor?
Not Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he was in X-Files.
No, I know
the one.
I can't think of his
Patrick
name.
Patrick or something.
Patrick, yeah. That yeah, guy. That's who he looks like.
Here, put him back on. Let me see.
I can't. I deleted the
photo. The T-1000.
Yes. It'll come back to me later. Yeah, that's who he looked like. I was like, oh, this is how much attention I was paying to the film last night. I was like, oh, you look like that guy.
You look like that guy.
That thing I saw. So they finally make it to Higgy's Havy, as we like to call it.
His name is Robert Patrick.
Thank you.
Patrick Rabbit.
They start to like
Rob.
You know, everyone. I don't think people have ever been out of the city before because they're very obsessed by a lake. They're like, oh, water. And Chris is. Chris's soap opera journey starts here.
Oh man, sometimes that's all we got is a lake, so we're excited.
Chris's soap opera journey of self-narration starts here. like, goes into the house and finds a mysterious old man in there.
Oh, hey.
How old is fucking Rick supposed to be?
Oh, come on. He is.
Rick looks like he's pushing 40.
Maybe he graduated with Chuck, maybe.
He graduated with Mrs. Voorhees by the looks of him.
Wow.
Look at that eye bag.
Oh my god.
Don't
hate on the eye bags on young people. Okay?
He works out in the sun. He probably smokes. Probably drinks. He's a country boy.
He is supposed to be 28.
Oh, so he is meant to be older than her.
He is meant to be older, but that's a
what a molester. Why is he fucking that girl? Or trying to anyway.
In fairness, he did have a pretty good body for the age.
I mean, he did, but he's still
interesting casting choice.
You could have done better, girl.
Do you know what I'm gonna do? Here's what I'm gonna do. This girl's like not been in town for 2 years because of a traumatic attack. I'm going to sneak up on her in her own house.
And then be all sexual towards her.
And then be bummed out when she doesn't want to fuck me straight away. I mean, the 80s.
He's rude, too. He's like, you know, I could be banging some easy chick on the week. I know. All weekend.
What was her name? Mary.
Mary Catherine.
Mary. Or something. Yeah, like. Anyway, she's ended up being like, everyone makes jokes about her all the time now. Like, she's famous in the fandom. Yeah.
She a hoe.
Well,
interesting relationship. I want to know. I don't know why these two people are friends.
Shelly and Andy are roommates. They're not.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah.
So why is, like, this is where I just need. Oh, wait. Oh, wait. Okay, before this happens, we come back outside. Why is this door left open? It's like, okay, girl, do you walk around and go, I opened my can an hour ago. Like, it's an interesting life when you have to add David Attenborough your existence. It's like, fuck me.
I feel bad for Shelly in this one because he's sitting in the van hiding because they're all...
I don't feel bad for Shelly at all. Shelly is the biggest incel before there was an incel.
They're all skinny dipping and I'm not skinny.
He's not even fat though.
He's not.
He's ugly, but he's not fat. Like...
Oh, what? And look, in fairness, so Shelly's a bit of an oddball, but he's got to know that Chris is like this high-strung person with PTSD.
Like, oh, I'm sorry.
Well, supposedly he does not know that she is just clearly suffering from PTSD.
She should have just reversed over Shelly and saved us all. Yeah. He's about as annoying. He's about as annoying as old Nate from Texas Chainsaw Massacre in the wheelchair.
No, you know who he is as annoying as it is Dakota Fanning in War of the Worlds. Mute it. Then it's watchable.
Yep. Come on. So randomly, we're not bringing up
Shelly tries to prank everyone. Shelly tries to prank everyone. I didn't mean to. Vera looks like a completely different person. I was like, "Who's that girl?" Anyway, she disappears to the store.
He is an actor.
He disappears to the store, and they disappear.
Yeah, Vera and Shelly go to the store together because Vera wants to go. She realizes that Shelley's pissing everyone off. Yep. So she thinks she'll remove the issue.
She's a nice girl. Like every Vera, they're nice.
We love Veras here.
We love Veras here at Uncensored Radio. Chris and Rick just randomly decide to fuck off as well. And then we get to meet probably, I think, fan favorite, right?
Yes, abso-freaking-lutely.
Fox.
She is Foxy.
Miss Foxy very, Cleopatra.
She's also in the game. So yeah. That actress has passed away, but they were able to get permission from her family to use her likeness in the Friday the 13th game. If the game was not shut down, I think we were going to get a lot of recurring like characters coming back from the older films. We got two from part three. We got Shelley as well. Larry Zerner reprised Shelley. We got Tom McLaughlin as Tommy Jarvis from part six. And then we got, Fox. Which is cool.
Fox is
And awesome. Then, so Fox is part of this biker gang, right, that just randomly hangs out at the corner
store. Biker gang of three, as you do.
Yeah. Just randomly in the backwoods, just hanging out at the store. The store doesn't like food stamps, which they make a point of when Vera's going to pay for stuff. Like, we don't take no food stamps.
Like, why racism. Would they pay? Oh, there we go. Why would they say that racism? Okay.
But Vera was going to pay with food stamps.
She that was? Because
then she asked Shelley for money.
I didn't realize she was actually going to do it. I thought
That's
they were
just because she's gonna... left out again.
Just thought she'd be she got to go. All right.
She got to go.
Anyway, the bikers bully them then, right?
The bikers bully them. They escape. And then, Shelley thinks he's the man for a hot second. And tries to, I don't know, why you would do that. Why you would stop that car in the first place is my question.
Just go.
I would just run over him.
I mean, whatever. I don't know if I would, commit that felony, but I would just go.
Whatever. The bikers end up coming back and following them anyway.
But they regret that decision.
They regret this. And then we get more soap opera action where Chris Higgins and Rick are sitting near a leaky barrel or a water feature from a pub circa 1990-something. and we get the stunningly acted monologue.
Drag me along the ground. I blacked out. I don't know what happened next. I just don't know.
Okay, right there.
That's pretty close.
Right there, she looks like a young Demi Moore. Right there.
She has a very pretty actress, beautiful for a Friday film. I'd say she's probably one of the most attractive actresses they've had.
He's very generous calling her an actress.
I've got to say, the delivery, though, I think she just didn't know what kind of film it was.
There was her delivery is so monotone no matter what's happening.
It was sitcom. Everything it was like she's on a sitcom.
We've already established.
No, not even, because in a sitcom you get inflections for jokes.
True.
No matter what happens, Chris Higgins talks like this. Oh, where to leave this window open? Oh,
we already decided that they made a choice. Quality or go for the 3D. Man, they went hard for that 3D.
Yeah.
They went for it.
They did go hard for the 3D.
They really did.
But when we talked about this before, she got raped, right?
No. I don't think so.
I think she was just attacked, like not like assaulted.
And doesn't remember anything, has chosen to block it out.
Yeah, there's hints of that, but that's like people reading to it. Like maybe if that was the last film, then that. But as we get to like Jason's got no interest in that. So
technically dies.
If there's something very traumatic happening to you, you can black out and forget pieces of the attack. It's totally a reasonable response.
How to act.
That's true too. She did forget how to act, but what are you doing?
Awkward. cut back to we get this for some reason.
Because
we know what reason. 3D. 3D moment. Because that's what you do when you're a college age student, right? You sit around and have a juggling contest.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I did that all the time when I was in college.
I'm glad I wasn't of college age in the 80s because it doesn't paint a good picture. It's like, let's juggle
and get killed.
Maybe they were all too stoned. But if you were that, like, they weren't stoned for eating all that weed.
That's a good point. Like, they got some high tolerance after that.
Yeah, I was like, okay. And then, you know, this is, as I said, this film sets up the franchise from now on. People just wander off into the dark alone and go, oh, whatever, I'm going to go stick my feet in this filthy lake.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so dirty.
This pond slash lake.
Again. People get real excited about lakes when there's no oceans nearby.
I know. So excited about it. Oh, look at this scummy water.
Listen, as a person who has a lake for a beach, leave us alone.
that razor fish gonna swim up your peepee hole.
But that water did look really algae filled and just foul. Yeah. It did. It was besty.
I'll meet you guys there when you come back.
It wasn't crystal lake.
Yeah, it's crystal backwater. we've kind of missed out the spot where the bikers come and like siphon off the fuel because it's not really
actually. That's a plot point. No, it is because that's why she runs out of fuel.
Yeah, look, they die. Long story short, all except for one of them dies at that point. They're not the quietest invaders, are they? Woo! It's like, okay, you do. But anyway,
I'm surprised those pants didn't split. They were tight.
Yeah, tight. They made things.
I know. Fox looks like she was like sewn into hers.
Yeah, she had. There was no way she wasn't. There was no way.
That girl rocked it. Girl rocked it.
She did. She did. If I had a body like that, I would wear them too.
But so Jason's been hiding in the barn, basically, watching all this happen. All of this unfolds, you know. He's just been chilling in the barn, recouping from his injuries, I guess, from the last film. Murders Fox and Loco with Pitchfork. Bye-bye. There you go, bye-byes. I nearly called him Larry. Shelley tries to scare Vera again by jumping out of the lake.
Still hasn't learned his lesson. The fool.
Still hasn't learned his lesson.
But do you guys see what he's wearing?
Yes, and his hair's not wet. But anyway, continuity of mistake number 74 in this movie.
Maybe his hair was just that curly, you know, it just can't hold water.
It would still look wet.
It would still be wet. But anyway. But this is it. This is where I'm defending this movie. Again, this is where this happens.
This is
where we get it.
Yeah.
The mask.
So Jason acquires the hockey mask from Shelley after he kills Shelley off screen, actually.
He doesn't kill Shelley straight away, remember?
He's killed him by this point.
No.
Yeah, when he's wearing his mask.
But Shelley's not dead.
No, he's not dead, but he's been
attacks Shelley, yes. Let's be correct. He attacks Shelley.
Oh, give me a break.
But this is where it all hits. 1982 is where this iconic image starts. We've had two movies before it. And I think I made this point on the last show. This could have been very well been a one and done for the hockey mask too. Like, imagine how interesting it would have been if Jason found a different something each time. Like, I'm in a different mask. But this hockey mask.
I don't think we would have made it to 12 sequels. And
you never know.
Oh, you could make anything. 12 sequels.
I mean, exactly.
Look at Paranormal Activity. It's still going.
No, Fast and the Furious is what I would go to. Mission Impossible. But this is the iconic image of Jason. Just around about the time, same time, we've obviously Michael Myers is set in stone before this. Yeah. Michael Myers was set in stone straight away. Freddy
they
was
were
set
branding
in
stone. Branding Jason, yeah. Weren't they?
I just think it's interesting. It took
three
this long to get
to
there.
Do it. Yeah, that's interesting.
Granted, the first one wasn't Jason, so you know the first one was really a murder mystery. This is out and out a slasher. Because
we know who the killer is now. He's moving into anti-hero territory.
Yeah. This is the start of it. I don't think he's a hero. We're not cheering for Jason yet.
I mean, we are, but we aren't.
Yeah. We don't. It's not, I think everyone's going, oh, that's cool. This is the beginning of a that's cool notion. Kind of like Freddy turned really quickly. Do you know what I mean? After part two, you're like, these people deserve to die.
Am I the only one who always roots for the villain in horror movies? Like, I'm not looking for survivors here. I'm dark.
Well, some people just don't deserve to die. Don't deserve to survive. If you see a complete stranger that doesn't look like the guy you just saw in a hockey mask while you're ankle deep in that water. Oh,
you in that water.
Who are you? What are you doing? How long did it take you to get here? What's your star sign? How long can I stand here and wait for us to set up this shot? Oh, he's going to stand directly onto the pole so you can see the line of sight this arrow is going to take straight into my eye? Yes. The answer is yes to all of the above.
No.
Lever.
Look, not a bad special effect, though. The 3D was horrible. But the special effect, not so bad.
It's cool.
Yeah, like, that was cool.
I gotta admit, the 3D deaths were cool. I mean, the 3D's not cool, but like the kill itself was cool.
Look, the spear gun's like one of those iconic deaths. It's like in the Friday the 30th, there's the spear gun, there's the weed whacker one and seven. Like, yeah,
this is where the signature kills start to come in. Mm-hmm. Where you know, Michael Myers has a butcher knife, Freddy's got his gloves. Jason's mostly a machete dude, but he's creative.
He gets whatever's around. Garden tools. Jason likes garden tools.
You know. And speaking of creativity, who fucks in a hammock?
Apparently they do.
Pregnant people.
Pregnant people who want a beer. Pregnant, look, well, she must be what? Is she like 3 days pregnant?
She's probably in the first trimester.
My incredibly flat stomach wants a beer.
She probably literally just found out, like, oh shit. There goes my weekend.
And then, look, if someone deserved to die, I'm pretty sure it was her. Because if I have to hear the name Andy screeched again.
Andy,
where are you, Andy? Andy, why are you taking so long, Andy? I'm like, oh, fuck me. How long does this Andy, woman want to say Andy
Let me
Andy
give
for?
Our baby fetal alcohol syndrome.
Yeah. So anyway, Andy, for some reason, I think Andy wanted, like, Andy was pre-Cirque du Soleil or something. Cirque du Soleil, he's like, I want to be that kind of boy.
Walks around on his hands. I think he's still like, stoned.
Hey,
Yeah, he got wrecked.
There is a very guttural grunt in that. Like,
well,
cool. It was cool. I went straight to his.
He split the pea pod.
Like, yeah. And his taint as well. Poor boy.
Yeah.
Poor boy. He's just not functioning anymore.
No, they're looking all poopy everywhere.
And do you know why else Debbie deserved to die?
Not
because she was, Debbie. You know. Do you know what she did?
What'd she do?
She showered and went back and laid in that cummy hammock.
Oh, God. Oh. She did.
Well, it wasn't going to get worse for her, was it?
No, but would you go back and lay in that? It'd be moist. It's material. It'd be moist.
I mean, arguing semantics here. How much jizz actually hung out in the
Well, she might be a Juicy Lucy as well. You never know.
I can't with you.
I wouldn't. And there's like there's this kind of bearskin, not even bearskin, but like some kind of animal pelt rug. Can you imagine the dreadlocks in that rug? That's like,
stop.
We have
not okay. I was like, you deserve to die for that. Like, who lays in a cum hammock after I have a shower?
Well, Debbie did, okay.
And you know what?
Guess what, Steve? Debbie died.
And how did she not see that guy? Where in the room where in the room was this massive hulking man in a fucking in a hockey mask?
Well, if we played the game, there.
He's just
there's
army
like
crawling
the divider
under.
There.
No, Jason's behind, squatting behind a modesty screen while he's folded a boyfriend like origami. Oh, your side's falling apart, babe.
It is, Bubs. It's had an axe wound up here.
No, here, on the bottom. Look.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's old, Bubs. This has been bought for me like 6-7 years ago.
Mine was bought that long ago too, but look, perfect.
Oh, well, mine's been out in the lawn, in the
outdoor shed. Mine was too, but mine's still in the cellar.
The cellar, $14.99 This one was, guys.
Oh gosh, I don't know what this one was.
It's just got the price
has a little barcode there.
Yeah, mine has $14.99 Mine says on the barcode. So yeah, long story short, you later come Hammock, you're dead.
Her final penetration.
We get a random 3D popcorn moment.
Oh,
and then Chili offer Chili and Chuck get the awesome.
Can I think just they get say, impressed.
Yeah, go.
Chuck is the most just character. He is just such a fucking dick. I just don't like him. Something about him, he's just so dirty and gross. And like, you know, Chili, even as much of a loser as she is, I'm just like, what is she doing?
She looks like she should play the best friend on a sitcom. Not a stoner.
Yeah, like she's the like, girl next to her. Come on and knock on my door.
Yeah, she's very Three's Company, isn't she? But not the hot one. She's the best friend. Why don't you scream like that?
Chuck
you gotta
is
give
supposed
to scream that.
Chuck is supposed to be 24 in this.
So Chuck's Dale. Younger than Rick.
Chuck is Dale. Younger. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Anyway, Chuck randomly goes outside.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Yep.
Have we lost power at this point?
We lose power when
he's in
Chuck
the
and
shitter,
Chili are having their moment.
Yeah. So Chuck goes out to investigate. Chuck's a basic white bitch, and goes out to investigate. And we know what happens next, right?
Yeah, he goes to put the power back on, and he does.
It's a very shocking moment.
Slammed into the...
I mean...
Bye-bye, Chuck.
That was such a cheap kill. I mean, okay, let's get realistic.
He deserved, he deserved a lackluster kill,
like
to be honest.
He deserved, a bong death or something. I guess he would get that later on.
That would have been a lot cooler for him.
And, like his bong shoved down his throat or something.
Hey, and that could have been a 3D moment. Put it right through him.
Could have had the cloud come out in 3D. Yep.
You missed a real opportunity here, Steve. Martin.
And then we have to talk about, we're gonna start to talk about the best well-lit darkened room in the world. Then we're going to talk about the slowest reactions in horror I've ever seen from this bitch.
I love it. She just runs around the house. Well, she was stoned, let's be honest.
The thing is, she does not run.
She walks around the house.
She walks not even in a brisk pace.
She's prancing.
Oh, wait, so Shelly comes to the door. Let's cut the audience off. Oh, yeah. Shelly comes to the door with his throat slashed.
Yes.
And she thinks he's playing a prank.
Yeah.
And he's not. So then when she realizes he's actually dead, she starts screaming a bit. Like, someone else did that scream. I'm pretty sure that's Dana Kimmel's scream and not
hers.
You're
my buzz, man.
And she's running around the house.
She's
like,
not running.
Debbie.
She's not running.
She's prancing.
Or walking up the stairs. She's like, Debbie, Andy, Shelly's
dead. Bodies.
Shelly's dead.
Yeah, that's another iconic line from this movie.
And then, I love when she's saying, oh, my God, and she's meant to be pegged. She's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the casting people need. Yeah,
they all had it coming. I'm sorry.
So anyway, yeah, she pops the fire poker. See you, Chili. All
right,
everyone's dead. Everyone's dead at fucking Higgins Haven. Oh wow, I stroked out again. Higgins Haven. And then I've called this next slide clueless bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's something else. Look, despite the very well-lit, blacked-out lounge room, you know, like the most well-lit room in the world, if you listen very carefully, as she opens the door, she calls him Nick, not Rick.
Oh, well, you were calling the other guy Rob earlier, so leave her alone.
She
calls him Nick. I was like, wait, that did that happen or am I just not paying attention? I rewound it three times. She definitely says Nick.
Dana had checked out by this point. She's like, meh.
This is just about as memorable as I'm going to get.
And then he's kicking his leg, like... He must move. Rick must be the Flash, I think, because he's inside, then he's outside, then Jason's like, it's like, wow, okay. The continuity is just all over the place now. It's just like,
that sweater is very Pamela Voorhees, too, by the way. Rick's sweater.
It's very
triggering for Jason.
It's I have a secret on the weekends. That sweater is.
What are you saying there? Steve, is he a member of the club?
It looks like one of those married men, that, like, you know.
What anyway, they call it?
Anyway, the down low. He's on the down low.
Thank you.
On the down low.
Okay, keep going.
Chris, sorry. We get, of course, Rick's death.
Boing! With the eye on the screen.
Help me, my skin complexion changed. He's squeezing my head that hard that I can't scream.
God. That is so bad.
Right?
So we get the spring-loaded eye that shoots towards the screen in 3D.
That's so bad.
Like now, this is where Chris is running around the house, right? Yeah.
This is like the start of actually one of the best chase scenes in a slasher, though.
It's fucking not.
It's a good... It's a cat and mouse. It's good.
It's not. It's not at all.
Can we focus on his death just like a second longer? Like it was bad in like full motion, but when you have that like still screen like that,
let's just set still. That's like a production shot.
Bad. Bad. Oh God.
I'm very surprised to hear you say that, Luke, because this would have to be one of the slowest, worst shot, worst acted chase scenes I've seen. And I'm including some student films. I love it.
I don't because you've been defending this movie the whole time, so I'm not.
Yeah, you've got a hard on for this movie for some reason.
You do.
Can we talk about the fact that downstairs is completely dark? She goes upstairs to the bathroom where every light's on.
They always go
maybe
upstairs.
The generator works upstairs.
So the generator just works. The generator that's not working at all works just for upstairs.
Yes,
and in the barn apparently. Because that's the most well-lit darkened barn I've come across.
Do you realize what you're saying there, Luke?
Also, it's the windiest place where it's the windiest place where no trees move. you gotta watch that wind because it doesn't get the trees, but it'll get your hair.
Oh my god, that chase scene. Woo!
And the monotone delivery just continues. Ah, Rick. Ah, Jason. Ah, no matter what happens, I would not like to have sex with her because. You wouldn't know.
Oh.
You wouldn't know.
Yes, that's so good.
Oh, that's
Dana,
so good.
Don't watch this, Jaina. They're not nice people.
Oh, God. She looks like she likes being choked. Yes!
She gets choked out in the van that remarkably breaks down.
No, because they siphon the fuel.
Plot point, they siphon the fuel. I love that Jason is so strong and can crush a man's head, but mate, if you put both of his arms in a wind-up fucking window, he's there for at least, you know, 2 minutes.
I mean, those things.
The amount of time it would take to wind that window up, like, she'd be dead.
Well, they don't make cars like they used to.
We've forgotten the line. We've forgotten a very famous line that is said in a couple of movies.
Rick, help me!
Yes, and what else is she looking for when she gets the car?
The keys!
If you don't know that those keys are in your pocket in those tight, tight jeans, you got bigger problems.
I'm defending her. I'm defending her on this one because I'll be holding my keys. Where are my goddamn keys?
Yeah, but you got mom brain.
That's not even an excuse anymore. I'm just.
I love that she, and when she runs, I laughed. I guess you shouldn't laugh when she runs away and smacks her head on a rock. That was great.
It was pretty funny. No, it was like, funny. Like, who directed that bit? It's like you're going to fall and hit your head on the rock. And she's like,
I'll tell you who.
But not even show, at least show it so we get she's dazed. Not like that she accidentally fell and we got it on camera.
She kept looking, holding her head. Like,
I wonder if that's maybe what happened. If she accidentally slipped and hit her head and they just kept it.
She just probably,
my career, no.
What?
Was she, it was probably one of the most believable stunts.
I'm saying I think it really happened, because I think the quality of this movie, that's probably the best acting in this whole movie. She goes in, as again, the most well-lit barn in history, in a blacked-out barn, hangs like a koala for some reason. And then can't maintain it when her body weight is evenly accentuated on that beam.
But Jason, why did she slip down? I don't understand. Yeah,
exactly.
That.
Jason has a thing with chairs. He's like walks in, looks to his right, sees a cupboard full of chairs, and goes, "Fuck these chairs!" And just rips them out.
Oh my god!
He doesn't like chairs. Fuck these chairs. Anyway, we have I'm not even going to say fight scene. It's like, again, the slowest pace. Oh, she's just not in a rush, is she? Chris Higgins, not in a rush, is what the title should be.
We are not anything. Rushing this movie.
She's not rushing. Oh, we should be at this point. Anyway, she's not strong enough to open the barn door, but she is strong enough to push a dead-weighted 6-foot-something man out of the barn to hang him. You know.
True.
Because that happens. I do like that she picks up the metal cog thing and knocks the door open to get out. This is the most unintentionally funny moment in this movie, I think. Hey, bitch, it's me.
He just looks like he's woken up from a nap, like, who the fuck are you?
It's more like, surprise, bitch. And then she goes crazy.
I love it.
It's you!
Oh, another person that's trying to kill me. No, it's the same one.
Makes a difference from you trying to kill your own career. Then she's random surviving biker comes out and gets horribly mutilated.
Yeah.
We don't see.
Ali comes to actually save her.
Yeah.
And after hiding his arm off. Then, like, butchers him with that machete and, like, for a good while. And so Chris is just sitting there watching it.
It takes Chris a good 20 to 30 seconds to look at an axe, contemplate picking up an axe, stand up, and then, I don't know. I feel like that should have happened. If I saw an axe while someone had their back turned to me and this was happening, it'd be over.
She was freaking out. She was really freaking out by that point, like twitching and everything.
You guys are generous. You guys are very generous.
It's a realistic response, you know, fight or flight. And
Like Lea Michele.
Oh God, she does right there. Look at that.
I
can see her just like, being so shocked and like out of it, and then finally snapping to like, oh, here we go.
Speaking of people that killed
she held crew, that axe properly. She was landing that axe.
It was a different axe, though.
The axe was shot later, and it was sitting on a saddle in one shot, and then she picks it up off the ground in the next.
The axe that she looked at was not the axe she picked up.
No. Okay.
That's okay. It was a pickup shot. Okay. Pickup shot.
We get this.
Oof.
Thriller. He does Thriller all of a sudden.
Yeah, and he comes for her like this.
Then we're dead.
And she has twitch. She does the whole.
Yeah. Because obviously she went, when you're in trauma, this is what you do. Someone told her. Someone lied to her.
Someone did not do their research.
Someone told her untruths. Anyway, she goes, because you know what this series has taught me? after dramatic after dramatic trauma,
you go in a canoe on the lake.
Bitches love water sports. Like, first of all, she puts that. She huffs. I think they were meant to be tears, right? The squeezed them out wouldn't come. Look, do you know what I'll do? I'll put some of this scummy water on my face. But not a lot. Only this much.
Maybe she wanted some conjunctivitis.
The choices. And she goes, do you know what? I feel like boating. And she's out. Bitch is out. And then wakes up to be scared of every living thing, or not even living thing, everything. And do you know what? The only creepy thing in this movie, and I don't know why, and I was trying to think about it. I fell asleep during this movie once when I watched it. And I woke up to this, and it stuck in my brain. That's creepy.
It's a scary scene. It is. That's well done. That's a scene to
wake up to.
That's
scaring at the glass to come and get her while she's laying out in the canoe.
I mean, that's what Kyle looks like in the morning, so it's rough.
Scared of ducks and everything, you know. Can we talk about? Wait, I need to go back. Can we talk about Chris Higgins not knowing her own house? Because in her chase scene, when she goes to jump out the window, you can tell they didn't rehearse it because she tries to lift the windowsill.
Oh.
She goes, oh. And then it's like, bitch, okay.
She's panicking. But, you know, come on.
Continuity. She's been to that house before. She knows how the windows open.
Even in a panic, you know that your windows either pull open but or you
We get the jump scare for this movie.
Yes. Which was just bizarre.
They love this jump scare.
They do.
Yeah. And they had Pamela Voorhees jump out of the lake at the end as like a
with a worm homage
to the first
film. Yeah.
But it just made us like, yeah, she dreamed. It was all a dream sequence. But did Chris, well, she probably did know of Pamela Voorhees by that point, surely, right? Because that happened prior.
But she didn't know she was. She wouldn't know she was dead because that had happened. Oh, well, that was 5 years
before,
ago,
or something. Yeah, 5 years before.
Maybe. But you would have mentioned it by now. But anyway, okay. Just more problems with the script, I guess. And then
ending was shot separately.
We're going to talk about endings.
There's an alternate ending.
We're going to talk about someone told her that when people go through trauma, you laugh and scream.
You can.
You absolutely
I know, but convincingly.
Isn't like a mania.
I know. But not like you heard a randomly funny joke. She was like, ha, 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 ha. You want mania? Go watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like, she lost it at the end of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That is arguably the best reaction in a horror film, though.
This is like when I went,
balls.
Do you know what I mean?
We're shitty.
And Chris Higgins, thankfully, is never seen again.
Well, I wouldn't mind if Chris returned to the franchise.
Do you know what? I kind of wish the alternate ending happened. Because the alternate ending had Chris going bye-byes. And for many, 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 many years, it was only a rumor until they did this latest box set where they found the footage.
Do they have the footage of it or just...
They have.
Oh, wow. I thought they only had stills of it.
Nope. The footage is all there.
Oh, wow.
Boom. This is behind the scenes.
Yep. Because she got her head cut off.
They said that they couldn't do that because the studio mandated that ending had to go because you can't kill the heroine at the end of the movie.
Well, they were also...
I think it would have been a better ending.
I think so, too. But they were
this
also
was meant to. This
to,
was meant to be the last movie at this point.
They also were trying to get down from an NC-17 rating to an R rating, so that probably played a part in it, too.
So the other alternate ending was Ali didn't actually get murdered in an alternate ending. Ali didn't get murdered, but he did help to save Chris, and they both walk away together when the cops get there, but Jason's body is missing.
As always.
Yeah, that's but a bit weird
they didn't,
too.
Like, they didn't do that because that like this Ali is and Chris. To be, this is supposed like, to be the final movie. So at this point. So
I'm kind of glad they didn't end on this one because, you know, you want to end
I'm kind of glad they didn't too. Look, didn't it was strong. It had a box. It had a budget of $2.2 million and it made $36.7 million.
Did well.
It was obvious that it was going to happen.
Now it'd be huge.
Yeah. Look. It was obviously going to happen. But
why?
Where are we at with Friday Part 3?
3D gimmicks made money. Yeah. Look, I actually... I know this is a bad film, I really do, but for some reason I have a soft spot in my heart for Part 3. There's stuff about it that I find it's so camp. It's like a campy version of Friday the 13th in some ways. It's so ludicrous. I just like it. So listen, I can't give it a bad rating. I like the heroine.
I love bad movies. I mean, don't get me wrong, Wicker Man with Nick Cage is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, that's great.
I love bad movies, but this is just bad. Like, this is so bad, I can't even like it. And I like bad movies. Like,
I would say this is in my top three favorite Fridays.
Oh, God.
Why did he pick you?
Interesting.
Contrast.
I find it funny that this movie had the biggest budget of the three that we've watched so far and is the worst.
It all went to the 3D though.
A lot of one, yeah, a lot of money.
It would have had to. It would have had to because
it had to.
To think that Steve Miner was given another job after this movie blows my mind, and that he actually made Halloween H20, which has genuine cat and mouse.
Well, he directed
scares.
Part 2.
Yeah, but he shouldn't have worked after this movie.
No, I agree.
Everyone that worked on this movie should have went, oh, okay, bye.
I mean, he put out some pretty stinky movies after this too, though.
I know, but to think that he did H20, like H20 up until these new Halloweens was the end of the Halloween franchise, and it was genuinely scary. Like, it had cat and mouse. It was scary. It was unnerving. This, I reckon you could show this to a 3-year-old and they'd be like, ha.
I mean,
they wouldn't care. In my opinion,
he did the classic.
The only reason you should watch this movie is if you want to know how Jason got the hockey mask. Otherwise, I would skip it completely. I think it's one of the worst in the franchise.
I agree.
I think you go straight from part 2 to part 4.
No, I agree with Steve.
I agree that you need to know that you need to know this for your trivia. You need to know this is where the mask came in. But that's about all you need to know.
These two people are wrong above
nothing
me.
That happens wrong, in this wrong, movie wrong. Nothing that happens in this movie besides the hockey mask matters
pretty much, except Debbie's pregnant. That's important too, apparently.
That doesn't well oh yeah she ain't pregnant
that's
no,
no longer a problem
in the cum hammock.
Yeah, in the cum. Do you reckon Right to Life has loved this movie?
Stop it. We're not opening that up.
Yeah, no. I'm not feeding into that one.
Look, I think this film had, like, some pretty decent kills because they were creative. Come on, the spear gun to the eye.
Yeah, the creative
the
kill thing
machete. There's some cool stuff in this film. It's not a complete, just bypass it. Because, look, the pace is terrible. This movie's terribly paced. And it's because they were focusing so much on the gimmicks of the 3D that the film got lost in the tricks, I guess.
It didn't get lost. It was never found. It didn't even start to get found. It wasn't anywhere in the beginning. Anywhere. It was just, let's make a 3D movie. We'll just throw a bunch of shit in and we'll see where we land. Good luck, guys. This movie's terrible. It is literally terrible. The only, just like Steve said, the only important thing about this movie is Shelley gave Jason his mask. The end.
Look, I would go as far to say as I think that some of the Sleepaway Camp movies are better than this movie.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's a pretty big statement.
And I love, look, Sleepaway Camp was obviously created as a, like, very not even tongue in cheek, but like a parody of this movie and like the whole camp thing. but the kills were more. There was more tension. There's no tension in this movie.
It is badly paced. I will say that
it's badly paced. It's badly scene designed. It's badly lit. It's badly directed, and it's badly acted. That's 5 out of 5. I don't think you need to watch it.
I mean,
hockey masks, what would you both give this?
Half.
Okay. All right, Katie, you have half to go first.
Half a hockey mask.
Half a hockey mask. Half a hockey
mask. Half a hockey mask, and that's only because you get the mask itself. Fine, I'll give it a whole one. There you go.
I'll give it, 3.5, almost 4. Oh, 3.75. Let's give it a Jeff score.
Oh, my God.
3.75.
Oh, and God.
I'm not even going to give it a hockey mask. I'm going to give it the toilet bowl of the besmirched toilet at the beginning.
Harold's toilet bowl.
Harold's toilet. Harold's shitty ass.
Unwiped ass.
Harold's shitty dead ass. Because, girl, this is bad. I like horror movies, but this is bad.
And you know what? Sleepaway Camp aged so bad. I mean,
it's Sleepaway Camp.
I'm going somewhere with this.
Okay.
It aged terribly. Nowadays, it is considered transphobic, but it still is a better movie than this piece of trash. It is bad.
Bad wrong.
I'm not wrong.
But look, we're obviously going to eventually get around to doing all of these movies because we're up to part 3 now. We're not just going to do hand stuff with you. We're going to get you all the way there. You know. We're not that kind of girl here at Uncensored Horror. We will get you off. We'll get you off. Eventually, it might take a while, but we'll get you off. We're not Chris Higgins.
I just realized what he was talking about. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God, that went right over your head. I saw right
where we're not going to blueball you here at Uncensored Horror. This is out of the three Fridays that we've watched.
Maybe skip it. Just do 1 and 2.
Skip it. Yeah. Unless you're a completist.
Don't skip it. And if you love the game, you love the map.
But this is the thing. You get it in the recap. Everything you need to know, you get in the recap. So, which we start with this, like we start
part 4 with
Jason's recap. You know, the Jason recap starts in this movie. Like we get the preamble. It's like, how can we flesh this out to an hour and a half? Let's show the.
Well, doesn't this film open minutes. With like almost some of the final act of part 2? Yeah.
This is the start of that. Is what I'm saying. We're like
part 4 actually has like a montage instead.
Yeah. The montage begins in part 4. So eventually we were going to do it. I was going to skip this movie deliberately, actually. And we were going to discuss the Tommy Jarvis movies today. But I thought, let's be completist. Let's be good. There's lots of
exciting...
We have
another Friday the 13th this year?
There is no other Friday the 13th this year.
So we'll probably have to hang out till next year, guys. So we'll get to... Yeah, I've got other stuff planned for October.
Way better movies for October.
We are definitely doing Halloween.
No, are we doing Halloween or are we doing Halloween?
We're going to do both. I think we're going to do Halloween and Halloween Kills. Because Halloween Kills, after the trailer is out now, I'm actually genuinely excited for this now. I don't know what it was. Kyle Richards made me go, this is going to be cool. Like... I'm very excited to see the town and that, like, they're going to try and do what they wanted to do in Halloween 2, but didn't really have a budget and, like, really show us Haddonfield and how it affects how, like, all this has affected Haddonfield as a whole. You know, back in the days, they couldn't decide whether Haddonfield was the suburbs or the country.
I mean, Luke's over here arguing that Friday the 13th part 3 is worth watching. I can argue with you that the Rob Zombie Halloween movies are worth watching, and this is
only a few.
Not all the Rob Zombie movies, just the Halloween ones.
Look, anyway, we'll talk
unless
about
you're
that.
You're a needle user, no.
I think we're gonna.
Harsh.
Oh, there was big news that just recently came out as well. Heading back to cinemas in October for its 25th anniversary.
I know, my favorite. Scream! I'm going to mask up and go.
I am going.
Mask up and mask.
I've got the ghost face mask somewhere. I need to find it.
I'm excited. And you better believe that Scream 5 trailer is going to be attached to that.
Oh, hell. You know what?
Can
you know
we do the review and all start in ghost face mask and reveal ourselves, please?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to drag
with our motives and everything. I did it because you ran over my duckling.
Vera. I think you don't want to kill Vera.
Oh, I'm going to do it. I'm going to drag her with me. We're doing this.
I'm trying to get Luke to watch Candyman, so we'll see.
Oh, I'm so excited for it.
I want to do Candyman, and I've got a few more things planned for us. So there's more uncensored horror coming up this year, is all I can say. But until then, thanks for joining us, y'all. And, you know, my only advice for you is don't go swimming in Camp Crystal Lake because it's dirty.
And you'll get
a bacterial infection. Yeah,
if you didn't get one from the cum hammock, you're gonna get one from the water. Bye.
Bye.
1 more time for the folks at home. Come hammock.